You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Nine teams are kicking off mandatory minicamps today. The Browns, the Cowboys, the Lions, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Titans, and the Commanders all in action today. So are we. With that, we say welcome to you. Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. It is Tuesday, June 6th. I'm Sarah Walsh alongside Kyle Brandt, Jason McCourty, and Peter Schrager. I was about to say this is not as physically demanding as the mandatory minicamp, but if you've seen the first hour of the show, a lot of movement by Schrags and Kyle getting up, doing demonstrations.
I was reenacting the great Kadarius Toney's yard after catches, and I think I might have broken the stage just trying to make one football move. So I apologize to the viewers at home. Some of that stuff is not safe for school.
I thought you were going to say you were reenacting the young Joker, also Kadarius Toney, like you were up there busting out a freestyle or something.
What, I've got all the young Joker's music on Spotify. You do? It's incredible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I work out to it.
What track do you like?
I love the song that's called Chiefs Super Bowl Winners.
He dropped a track about the Super Bowl winners.
With a Z.
That's cool. Gives it some edge. Good, Peter.
A hot track.
Yes. I love it.
I'll download it as soon as we get off the show. Now, time now for the lead block. Let's start in the AFC West, where Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson sat courtside at game one of the NBA Finals, supporting the Nuggets last week. And yesterday, division rival Patrick Mahomes met the president of the United States as the Chiefs visited the White House in celebration of their Super Bowl 57 victory. Now, President Biden was presented with his own jersey alongside Mahomes and one Travis Kelce, who had to steal the show.
So I've been waiting for this.
Sorry.
So I've been waiting. It's great.
Hey, sometimes you got to just seize the opportunity, right, guys? What did you think of Kelce yesterday?
They have a real rhythm, and like we were with them on the weekend too. Like Mahomes, the whole bit is like Kelce's crazy and Mahomes reels him in.
It's a good bit.
And it's working. Yeah. It's great.
We saw it at the draft and they came up and Kelce's on the mic and Mahomes is always kind of that like little bit of an embarrassed parent.
Yes, that's what it is.
He's like, now, come on, we talked about this in the car and the way you're not going to embarrass yourself the way it works really well. At the weekend events, at the draft, now they're a traveling comedy duo.
Yes.
And I really like it.
You think for Travis, it's just all right, Mahomes has just now become my Jason Kelce. Like he was, my older brother was the guy I always bring him in.
Yeah.
Now Patrick, just
that's Mahomes is also smart. smarter. So in a lot of ways on the field and then also, of course, with how he handles his body. What do I mean by that? Mm. On Saturday night, they did this Hot Ones challenge, these chicken wings. And Mahomes was supposed to be involved. Mahomes looked at it and was like, I'm not doing that. Kelsey filled in for him. Kelsey's sweating and crying eating hot wings on Saturday night on a stage. And Mahomes was sitting there watching like, he's an idiot. Why would he do that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mahomes is just, he sees it, you know, that's it.
He didn't recognize Weird Al Yankovic, though, did he?
No, he didn't.
It's disappointing.
Know Weird Al. I know, that hurt.
Disappointing, but now a huge fan.
Huge fan.
Okay, good. Fine. Yeah. That's great.
However you love those two.
Yeah.
All it took is seeing him once, and he's all in. By the way, that Travis situation at the White House show, that could have been way worse. That's very low-key for Travis. Yeah. I mean, that was a two. I mean, give that man a mic in more than 10 seconds there. And
could have shouted out the other side of the aisle. You never know. You know? It's dangerous.
Fresh off a White House visit, the Chiefs clearly the team to beat, maybe the comedy duo to beat. But what do Russell Wilson and the Broncos have to do? What do they need to do to become actual contenders in the AFC West, Peter?
They need to go all in on whatever Sean Payton is selling them, and they need to drop all ego at the door, and they need to drop all of the stuff from last year. I thought last year, I picked Russell Wilson as my MVP before the season, and I take pride on knowing the league and doing all the work. And now I took Nathaniel Hackett as my coach of the year before the season last year, and I wear that proudly on this show because I have enough confidence to tell you I was dead wrong and it went 180 degrees different than I thought it would. They need to erase all that. And anything that Russ had that was considered privileged last year or was considered special treatment last year, that's got to be stopped the second they start going to mandatory minicamp. And I look at the Broncos and I look at some of those additions. They didn't add a flashy wide receiver. They didn't do a crazy trade at draft day. They added Sean Payton, so they get, of course, some championship pedigree. But then they go and they get Mike McClinchy from the San Francisco 49ers, who is a sturdy offensive tackle who is going to do the job protecting their quarterback. Then the next one, they get Draymond Jones, who might not be a household name everywhere, but Draymond Jones comes in as a sixth-year defensive tackle who's had 46 career starts and is one of these guys that is just everyone around the league is like, oh, no, that dude's great. That's a great signing. That's a guy that you build around on the inside. You know, I look at this team and I say that this is a squad that they've got a lot of stuff that they can do and they can get better. And they, of course, have the talent on the roster, but they've got the coach now, too. I don't know. I look at the Broncos and I'm like, I'm pretty excited. It's not Draymond Jones. I got the wrong name.
He was there. He
was there. That was
Seattle.
The wrong name. Erase the whole show. Let's start all over. That was stupid. Draymond
Jones. No, you.
Who's the defensive player they added? Someone in the production.
Zach Allen, coming from Arizona.
Zach Allen off the edge is who they added. They lost Draymond Jones. I'm so embarrassed. I'm walking off.
He's like, take a lap. Take a lap. Take a lap in that cardigan.
All right, Broncos fans. Go. Someone else go. Thanks, producers.
We're taking over. I like that you spotted and pointed out his cardigan, but he'll be back soon. I look at the Denver Broncos and yes, Deshaun Payton, Russ, they got to be better. The offense, this, that, and the third. The division they're in, a division that has Patrick Mahomes, up-and-comer, and Justin Herbert, who's just broken every passing record since he's come into the league for a young quarterback. At some point, defensively, you have to find a way to get a stop. In the last few years, the Denver Broncos have been one of the better defenses in the NFL. And Ejiro Evero, he's gone. He's not on the team anymore. You go back from when Vic Fangio was there. It is now a familiar face who's going to be walking the sidelines and is going to be calling the defense for them, and that's Vance Joseph. He is back, and this guy was the head coach for the Denver Broncos for two seasons where they had 11 wins. Now he's back in the building. There's only two players there, and Justin Simmons was one of those guys who was there when Vance was there, and he talked about it. He's happy to have him back. He's excited. He loved him as a coach. He didn't have a ton of success there, and for him, he runs a defense that is more of an attacking defense, wants to put pressure, and you saw that in Arizona where the numbers weren't stellar, weren't great, but he was a guy where you would see everybody up at the line of scrimmage to try to put a ton of fear in defenses while he was their defensive coordinator. Now when you take over, how much of his style does he implement right away? When you have guys who've been running a defense a certain way, How fast are they able to buy into his philosophy? How fast are they able to get them to learn his terminology and the things that he wants to do defensively? For the Denver Broncos to be able to compete, can you get Patrick Mahomes off the field during a two-minute drill? Can you force Justin Herbert to throw an interception when it matters most in those type of games? In that division, you're going to have to come up with big stops. And they have probably the best cornerback or one of the best in Patrick Surtain, and Justin Simmons, one of the best safeties in the game. How much are they able to buy into what's being sold by Vance Joseph and turn it into production on the football field?
They have really good players and really good coaches. It's so much rust to me. Mm. You know, we just showed the Chiefs visiting the White House. The Seahawks visited the White House. I pulled up the picture, and it's the Seahawks with Obama. Like, Russ looks like a baby. It was nine years ago. Peter, I'll put you on the spot. Yeah. There's Obama, and Russ Wilson's right next to him. What other Seahawks player is on the other side of the president? Who do you think it was?
I'll say the MVP, Malcolm Smith.
That's a great prediction. Doug Baldwin.
Doug Baldwin.
And there's Percy Harvin right there. It's a hell of a picture. Russ. Take a time to look at it. My question is, does he have any shot of ever going to the White House with his team again? Mm. This president, next president, doesn't matter. You don't see a season like we just saw where a fantastic player who so many people think will be a Hall of Famer has that rough of a season in the middle of his career. He changed teams. He changed coaches. You know, Peyton Manning changed teams and changed coaches. Aaron Rodgers changed coaches in the middle of his time at Green Bay. He's now changing teams. I don't think that ever happened. You just don't see it. And was it because Nathaniel Hackett is the worst coach of all time? Maybe it had something to do with it. It's not that he didn't win the MVP like Peter predicted. It's just he wasn't relevant at all. And I don't want to dig that up more or less. I'm just moving forward. Like, you got to be great right now. Yeah. If you're landing in the NFC and Russ is decent next year, the Broncos can do some things. My God, you're in that gauntlet. And not just the AFC. You're in the AFC West gauntlet. He needs to be fantastic. And I love Sean Payton as much as the next guy, but it was rough last year. It was really rough. And I think there were locker room issues with him, and I think there were image issues. And more than anything, it was just performance. It just wasn't getting done. He didn't look anything like a Mahomes or Herbert or Allen, anybody. He's got to be great this year. If he comes back this year and he's like, oh, Russ had a nice little bounce back year, they're done. You can't have a nice little anything in the AFC. The Broncos need to make the playoffs. They need to scrap into a wild card game. That'd be great. Lose a wild card game 21-10. Successful season. That's where we're at with them. If he's decent, if he's good, they're not going to get there. He needs to be really good next year. I don't know if he has it in him.
I don't know. Is that still there? That's the question.
I don't know. I have no idea. They have a great roster, and they have a great coach. I don't know if they have a great quarterback still. We have to find out.
Kyle, to your point about when you were talking about these other guys have changed teams, Peyton's changed teams, Aaron's changed teams, Tom's changed teams. I want to say they don't necessarily turn around and win the Super Bowl, although Peyton did it with another team.
Look,
to Tom.
All his peers do it. Phillip Rivers changed teams and was in the playoffs in the first year. Like, you do it, and you adjust because you're that good. He needs to adjust this year.
But what you don't see for these guys that are these super high-caliber quarterbacks and face of the franchise guys, you don't see, even if you have a hiccup on the field, you don't see kind of all the stuff that happened off the field. Like, you've just never seen that sort of implosion, like both simultaneously, both on and off the field, in the way that
Agreed.
Shook out. A question, though, I have for you, Peter, though, is as we were talking about this, is so much is put on Sean Payton, I feel like. And we were talking about it even with Aaron Rodgers being the biggest offseason acquisition. You said, well, maybe it's Sean Payton. I mean, we talk about him, though, like he's throwing touchdown passes. Yeah. And is it, I don't want to say it's unfair, because Sean obviously took the job knowing what comes with that, right? Mm-hmm. But is Sean Payton expected to be this Messiah? I mean, he's expected to be this Messiah. Is that
salary,
completely fair?
At that salary, at what he's making, and when they went on this worldwide search where they could have hired anybody they wanted, and they gave it to Sean Payton, he came out of retirement for this. Yeah, I don't think failure is an option. Mm.
But considering he can't step on the field, I feel like we talk about Sean like he can throw four touchdowns in a game and he can, mend whatever relationship. Sure. I don't know. It's just almost like Sean Payton. They got anointed because of Sean Payton, and that's not a knock on Sean Payton. It's just like it feels like so much is being asked
of
Sean
Payton. Further, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sean Payton won one Super Bowl.
Oh, I know.
So we talked about him going to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy won one Super Bowl. We brought up the wins, losses, and the whole nine. So it's a very interesting point to what you're saying is just that, I don't know. And even for Russ, what if he does play great this season? And we talked about all the quarterbacks in the AFC. is it okay if Russ plays great and they just missed the playoffs, not because of his bad play, but just Trevor Lawrence played?
They can't miss the playoffs this year. I think it's a great failure if they miss playoffs. They're paying Russell Wilson as much as any quarterback in the league. They're paying a coach more than any coach in the league close to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's acceptable to miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's tough. I know year one. But that's
how it is. But that's what time it is. I think last year in the Russ to Denver thing, played into and fed the worst impulses of his ego and his self-image. I really mean that. He was looked at as this messiah. I remember him in training camp. His teammates are taking selfies with him. Yeah. There's this Russ thing and Russ. Game one at Seattle, it was a massive thing of expectations where he's like, oh my God, I'm the man, I'm a god. This year, there's no expectations for him. It's like, oh my God, what can you do now, Russ? The boom is off the rose completely, and we're talking about the other teams in the division. I think that actually could be good, where he'll just be more one of the guy and like go to work rather than like being this savior.
I said yesterday on the show, who's the biggest challenge to the Chiefs? And we all went around there. I'm like, Chargers, 100%. Did not say Broncos. Mm-hmm. So that's already putting him at three.
Yeah.
If you're asking me Broncos or Raiders, I don't know. If you're talking about a team that's in fourth place in the AFC West after what they've spent in free agency, what they spent on their coach, it has to be better.
Yeah.
We were talking about this a year ago in the offseason, and we said, who's going to win this division? We were like, oh my God, look at the Broncos now. Mm-hmm. And now it's just such an opposite end of the spectrum. They've been last in the division the last three seasons. I mean, I know that's not Russ's fault prior to that.
But when
we're talking about contending. They have to be not last. I mean, it's
Peter will pick Sean Payton for coach of the year this year. I'm predicting it right now. You probably
No,
don't do that. It didn't work out last year.
I gotta double down. I might pick Russ for MVP.
Fine. Go for it.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
day.
Tuesday morning, we now welcome to the show our NFL Network front office analyst. You know him well. He's won three Super Bowls. He's the VP of player personnel for the New England Patriots. He's a friend of ours. Ladies and gentlemen, let's meet Scott Pioli.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good to be back. I missed you guys last week.
I know. It's great to have you back. We love your energy. And the Jets fans are loving Aaron Rodgers' energy right now. The Jets went from having a project quarterback in Zach Wilson the last couple of years to now having a future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. We're in New York City. This guy could do no wrong with these Jets fans right now. So the team's expectations have changed drastically this offseason. But put yourself in that front office perspective. How does this change the organization's goals during OTAs? There's a little tempering expectations as well.
Peter, nothing should really change in terms of the goals for OTAs or the process. You know, it was very interesting in the last segment for the folks that were watching. You guys talked about Russell Wilson and expectations. I'm not comparing Aaron Rodgers to Russell Wilson, but what I'm saying is if you're a team and you prepare, you have to have a system in place, you have to have a process in place. There's things that you want to accomplish in the spring, that you want to accomplish in the OTAs. You need to go through your process. Everyone laughs when they hear that word, but that is the key to success. You can't start thinking about long-term results and what the end game is going to be. If you do things the right way, week by week, day by day, month by month, you'll put yourself in a place to succeed. I think the most important thing that they have to do right now is manage expectations of all the noise, manage expectations of how one person is going to change this club, and make sure that everyone is doing their job and each person and each coach and every player gets better week by week.
A completely different topic, Scott, that we were talking about in the commercial break before they cut our mics off, because I have really so many questions about this. Our NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported on that addendum that was added into Jimmy G's Raiders contract, which stated he would otherwise not have passed the team's physical because of that injured foot. Explain to us what that means and why those injury waivers are put into these contracts.
Sarah, listen, when that report first came out on Pro Football Talk a couple of weeks ago, it made everything make so much more sense. Remember, there was the delay in the signing. There was an agreement to terms. The deal was done, but then it took a couple of days to get done. Clearly, what happened here was the terms were agreed to. Then when Jimmy G came in, they did a physical on them. And this happens in this, the process happens in that order very often. And what happens sometimes is a player will come in, they'll find out that there's an injury, that it's a real problem. And what they have to do then is make sure that they mitigate the risk that they take, meaning the club. So the club then goes to the player and the agent says, hey, listen, we've got a pre-existing injury here. This is a problem. We shouldn't be on the hook and guaranteed for a problem that exists now, especially in the fact that we're going to have to do surgery right now. So what teams do and agents try to do is they try to negotiate a situation like this where they will take a specific body part and put a waiver on that body part. But what happens sometimes is teams try to get too onerous in their behavior, and they try to do a contract where they'll be very vague and they'll say, well, the entire ankle, where the agent and the union want to make sure that a player doesn't make it that vague and that's a very specific part. So this was not that unique if you spend time doing contracts, but to me, it made everything make so much more sense, and both sides have mitigated their risk, and it was fair to both sides, it sounds like.
Yeah, very interesting, Scott. I've known guys that have gone to fail the physical and offers are pulled and they don't end up signing with that team and have to go look elsewhere. So the Raiders still stuck with Jimmy G. It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. But, Scott, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Patriots. Mac Jones obviously struggled last season. A lot of things going on with offensive coaches and all of those things. But they're looking forward to 2023. So when you hear Mac Jones say, hey, I want to start this season by earning everyone's respect, what are your thoughts on that?
Jason, I absolutely loved his candor and I loved his humility. What he had done was he came out and he put public accountability on himself, not only to the media, but to his team and his teammates. I don't know this for sure, but my guess is that he had a conversation with his teammates, manned up, owned his stuff, and said, hey, listen, I wasn't the best version of myself last year, not only as a player, but as a person, because he alluded to that in his words. So you all know this, that sometimes you can say things in private and try to convince people, but you don't necessarily live that way publicly. I love that Mac Jones talked about it privately with his teammates, but came out and let his teammates know, hey, this isn't real. I'm not trying to con you guys. I need to be better. I'm going to be better. And again, to me, you know, I love leadership when people admit their flaws or their shortcomings and mistakes and then try to do better and be better. So I absolutely loved what Mac Jones did.
Well, Scott, you mentioned leadership, and the NFL world lost a legend with the passing of Norma Hunt, who was the matriarch of the Kansas City Chiefs. You, of course, former Chiefs general manager. Scott, take a minute. What would you like to say about her impact, the impact she had on you, the Chiefs, and the entire NFL?
You know, Kyle, Norma was one of the, and she made us all call her Norma. She never went by Mrs. Hunt to those of us that worked with her and worked for her. She was one of the most wonderful people that I met during my three decades in the NFL. She had this love, this grace, this warmth, not towards just me, but towards my family. And there were some really rough times near the end. And Norma stayed close to my family, to my wife, to my daughter, and myself. She was one of the most caring and thoughtful people that I've met, and an incredible leader. And the league lost a giant without a doubt. She had this voice of calm and wisdom and history and experience. And again, I'll just never forget, after I was gone from the Chiefs, she continued to write me notes, to make calls, to stay in touch, to make sure that my family and I were okay. She was a really, really remarkable woman. And I really do want to send my love and condolences to the entire Hunt family, but specifically Clark and Tavia and Daniel and Tony. And my heart really goes out for them. And she was an absolute legend and an amazing person.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game, bro.
Let's get it out there. It is. Oh, you'll see it. Time now for the lead block. One free agent not reporting to any mandatory minicamps for the time being is birthday boy wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. He turns 31 years old today.
Right?
How about that? Here's Cowboys owner Jerry Jones on the possibility of Dallas signing D-Hop.
Don't dismiss any possibility. It's unlikely.
Okay. Have you had some talk with Zeke about coming back?
Again, I wouldn't want to get into the nature of how we've done it, but certainly it's no secret that Zeke is evaluating what his opportunities are, and we're evaluating what we're doing as well.
The Cowboys, one of those nine teams starting that mandatory minicamp today. They've got some thinking to do. Should they be thinking about going all in and signing DeAndre Hopkins? Peter.
Yeah. The NFC is wide open. Mm. At what cost is the question, of course. But I look at the NFC and who wants this thing? Are we just crowning the Eagles in June? Are we just going to concede and say the Eagles, they bring back a lot of players and they had a great draft and the Eagles did it last year. They're going to do it. Or do you say, let's do what the Eagles did last year when they got A.J. Brown and said, let's bring in a star receiver. Let's go. Look, DeAndre Hopkins is probably the best available free agent on offense. I think the Cowboys have a very big challenge up ahead in that they are changing who's running the offense. I thought Kellen Moore did a fine job, maybe not the job that they needed to get through in the playoffs, but I thought Kellen Moore's offense has always put up a lot of yards and always did a lot of things. Now Kellen Moore is gone, and we had KJ Wright on the show a couple days back, yep. And he's going through the list, and he's like, look, they've got Michael Gallup, and they've got Brandon Cooks, and I'm like, I haven't seen Brandon Cooks and Michael Gallup tear up the league in the last couple years. One of them's dealing with an injury. Another one's been irrelevant in Houston, who put up numbers, but we don't know. Like, DeAndre Hopkins, you add that into the mix? I love that for the Cowboys. I understand that it doesn't make sense fiscally in a lot of ways, but the some of the Cowboys' moves in the past, has that ever been the issue? Aren't they always finding a way to make those hurdles available to be jumped over? I like this fit. I think, and I know Jerry kind of was, you know, arm's length, we're good, and we're going to have to pay CeeDee Lamb, and we're going to do all these things. For 2023 with a wide-open NFC, I don't think the gap is that far off from the Eagles. You add DeAndre Hopkins, I think that puts the Eagles on notice just a little bit.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because big-name receiver, it just seems like it fits the Cowboys' persona. We talked about it with Odell Beckham Jr. They were interested, and we're like, he's the perfect fit to go to the Cowboys and everything. But I look at this situation, and DeAndre Hopkins now being a free agent, it seems like every day we're going to pick a team, and we're going to say, all right, how about this team go after him? How about that team go after him? Interesting to me is DeAndre Hopkins has been a star receiver in the league since he's been there. We don't know that DeAndre Hopkins wants to go play for the Cowboys. And I know he's a free agent. We can say, oh, well, he may not have the pick of a litter to choose. No, I think he's going to have some options to be able to decide where he wants to go. And the whole conversation came up a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. He was on the I Am Athlete podcast with Brandon Marshall and gave his top five quarterbacks that he'd love to play with. And he was asked. He was like, hey, Dak Prescott, what about him? And DeAndre kind of sits back and he gives kind of that Magic Johnson. And he was just like,
I ain't going to be there.
Like, DeAndre's like, nah, I'm good on that. So we're asking Jerry, hey, how about you guys go all in and you go bring DeAndre Hopkins to the Dallas Cowboys, put the star on his helmet. He can be the guy opposite CeeDee Lamb with Cooks taking the top off the defense. I don't know if that's what DeAndre Hopkins has in his plans of where he wants to go and continue his career. This guy, you can say, all right, we just saw his birthday, just turned 30. The one thing about a guy like Hopkins is his game was never built on speed. It was always built on hands and his ability to make contested catches. So maybe he doesn't get as much separation as he gets older, but I think this guy can still be really effective as a wide receiver, and I don't think the fit is in Dallas.
I'm interested in why, though. Like, it's your opinion. Why would you go to DeAndre Hopkins and be like, all right, the Cowboys, they just won a playoff game last year. They played Tom Brady's last game ever. They have a Super Bowl winning head coach. They have a great quarterback. They have an owner who will do anything. They're talented.
Yeah.
Why don't you want to be there? Do you have a feeling? Why would he sit back for the Cowboys? Dak's really good. The Cowboys are really good. What do you think?
He had a top five list of quarterbacks.
I know, but why wouldn't I guess Dak's not a top five guy.
And that's what, and maybe that's what he's looking at. Mm-hmm. Of like, yeah, Dak is a really good football player, and they've had a really talented roster, and they haven't been able to get it done. So maybe he looks at it as.
But neither have the Bills. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder why he has some sort of Cowboys prejudice or something.
I'd have to watch the clip. I'm not familiar with the reaction, but to have an aversion to Dak Prescott as opposed to, you know, 25 other quarterbacks, I think Dak's. I mean, that's my opinion. I think that.
I love Dak.
Right? I think that's a good fit.
Yeah, I do too. I guess he's not feeling it.
I guess
there's something about it. I mean, I put him and Lamb out there. I'm like, oh my God, we got some guys right here. I think the Ezekiel Elliott portion of what Jerry said is fascinating too, that they haven't closed the door on that. And I think it's good. Like, Zeke, I think, is really a beloved Cowboy who is a really special player over the last 10 years. But I said this for a long time now. I think they made a terrible decision with signing the contract they did, and they did it for reasons that weren't football, that were marketing and fame and all that great. His skills deteriorated. He was clearly the second best running back. However, he was really good at being a goal line running back. He's a really good pass blocker. I think it would be cool if the Cowboys said, Zeke, we love you. I'm not seeing a lot of juice there on the street right now to sign you some big deal. Would you like to come back and be a Cowboy at a fiscally responsible price? And we'll give you a few carries and score some touchdowns. You can jump some kettles. Let's run it back. I think that'd be great. Tony Pollard's the guy, but come in here. We like you. You fit. Dak likes you. I don't know if Zeke's going to do that or if he's still thinking that, you know, the Texans are going to call and give him some big money. I have no idea. But I would like to see him as a Cowboy, and I think if they could offer him a cheap deal in a really specific role, he should do it.
I think it makes sense for him to go back to the Cowboys. Can we spin this back to that list conversation we're having? Because his list, DeAndre Hopkins' list, was Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, Jackson, Herbert, also not on that list, was his former quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who has already said he has gone to the management there and has made a case to have. So we were talking about, well, how is Dak going to feel? Maybe he doesn't want to be there. Deshaun's already gone and said he's asked management to go out and get D-Hop. He wasn't on Hopkins' list. And then it's so funny because in this offseason, we were just talking about we love mandatory minicamp because it gives us, like, tangible football to talk about. When there's not stuff out there, right, things are going to be made up. Well, let's just say he signs anywhere right now. Like, maybe it's a team we're not even talking about, and it's a quarterback that's not one of those five quarterbacks. The first thing that guy's going to... What is the first thing that guy's going to... Just pick me another team. Let's just go Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence. And he signs tomorrow in Jacksonville. The first thing that's going to happen is someone's going to go to Trevor Lawrence and be like, Trevor, how offended are you? Your new stuff. It's just funny because like this list that like, you know, was maybe innocently put out, like, of course, he's naming some of the best quarterbacks out there in football. If he doesn't go to a team with those five, it's going to be the first story.
He just tells his quarterback, you were six. We just didn't get to that point in the interview.
Exactly. I didn't want to like ruffle any feathers. Maybe there was another receiver there. Anyway, so I just think that the list thing is interesting considering when we were asking how Dak would take it. Deshaun apparently was not, didn't hurt his feelings enough to stop him from asking potentially to get D-Hop there. Yeah.
It's funny. We're in June 6th.
Yep.
And it's the second straight day we've started on the show. Like, this might be the summer of D-Hop because I think every time I think of these teams, like early on, I was like, the Bills make a lot of sense. And the more I'm thinking about the Cowboys, I'm like, like go, make this play, be aggressive, bring him in. I just picture the Eagles cakewalking to the Super Bowl right now, and I think of all these other NFC teams, whether it be the Niners, whether it be the Cowboys, and whether it be, you know, the Minnesota Vikings, who already have a first-round wide receiver to go with Justin Jefferson, but it's like, at the right cost, DeAndre Hopkins is such a weapon in the red zone. I would have to think that in the NFC particularly, with that thing being so wide open, one of those teams is going to say, you know what, screw it.
Can I throw out an NFC team?
Yeah.
Detroit Lions. Like, why, for them.
Especially with Jameson Williams.
Campbell was talking about it recently. Said, I like the guys we have, but he was being a little coy.
Yeah. And, I mean, I remember Bill Belichick. That was his answer. You ever ask about somebody that wasn't on a team? I'm worried about the guys on our roster. I'm not concerned about
it. He's a free agent. He's not even...
But that was the point. Like, so Dan Campbell's saying that. Just, all right, well, he's not in the locker room right now, so I don't need to have a discussion about him. But you look at him possibly in Detroit, a team, younger receivers. Jameson Williams obviously has a six-game suspension. Amon-Ra in the slot. Jared Goff coming back as quarterback. Mm. You've added some rookies in the running back. Like, you get a guy like him out there, one-on-one, third down. Mm. I can get him to rock. I think he would fit in Detroit, too.
The thing is with Detroit, young team, and they're building this culture. You bring in a 31-year-old, 31, not 28, 31-year-old veteran, and you're like, here's this young team of kids who haven't won yet. We're going to plop you in there. I don't know if that's a fit. I look at it as Dak's a made man.
Yeah.
They've got these made men on that Dallas team that have been there around. Maybe not. I don't know.
He's not a fit. Why in that scenario?
He's a young guy. Weird fit.
It's like, here's the older guy who...
But you don't... Really, in some instances, you don't want the older guy for that purpose?
It has to be the right older guys within a locker room when you have a young team. You have to make sure if I'm coming here young...
I was thinking just wide receiver in general. An older wide receiver going into a young wide receiver's room that's ascending. I don't know if that's... I don't know.
See, I feel like when you really start saying we're trying to contend for something, you need to have a mix of veterans in your locker room to help get you over that hump. I felt like D-Hop's leaving Arizona because they're not a team saying, all right, we're trying to get over the hump right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like for a team, when you're really trying to get there, and every team in the NFL is not always at that point where you're like, hey, we just maybe need one more step to get to that Super Bowl. I feel like you do need a mix of veterans because the young guys, you don't know what you don't know. And you need to have somebody there to help that be that guiding light. We'll see.
I guess just why haven't they pounced then, right?
Like, he's sitting there.
Yeah.
Go get him if you like him. Yeah. Big famous guy. Made a lot of plays. Like, there's no deal yet. So, he's 31.
Yeah. We the people think about Odell, and then he signs a big contract to go to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Took a while, but
that's true.
Literally, pick any team, and tomorrow's lead block's going to be like, does it make sense for the Panthers to go get D-Hop?
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good to your job. They're called skills. And CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder CoLab. Check out resume examples. Learn what recruiters are looking for. Search salaries. And view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.